Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning, folks. Hope you had a great Tuesday evening and hope you're having a great Wednesday morning. I went out and picked out my Christmas tree early this morning, so it's already looking towards the Christmas season here, and we're not even to Thanksgiving yet, but Thanksgiving being late kind of has everything screwed up from a timing perspective, I guess, for a lot of folks. But let the fun begin. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We'll visit with Daniel DePetra's Defense Priorities Fellow. We'll talk about President Vladimir Putin formally lowering the threshold for Russia's use of its nuclear weapons in the aftermath of President Joe Biden's decision to let Ukraine strike targets inside of Russian territory. We'll visit with Brooke Buford, communications strategist at Clico. It seems as though Wednesday is Utility Scam Awareness Day. That's today, and Clico's reminding customers of the different types of conduct relative to utility scam operations, and we'll visit with her. G&O Inc. with Michael Heck, and we have a special guest, Jack Carrere, co-founder and CEO of ProKeep, and we'll talk about that organization. So it's kind of interesting what's going on, and Tommy was just spent an hour talking about immigration. And obviously, there's a difference of opinion as it relates to this issue. It's a very contested issue, very controversial issue. Always they're trying to have comparisons as to who did a better job. I think his guest appropriately pointed out there are a number of different conditions that kind of impact what's going on with immigration. But there are some fundamentals that are fairly simple. If folks are given a pathway, meaning the federal government itself is given the pathway to implement certain measures in order to protect this country at its border, right? I would remind folks, I find it a little bit interesting in a lot of different conversations that are being had once we're trying to do these comparisons, that the Trump administration was tied up in court by the Democrats throughout his entire administration. In fact, there was not a singular provision that he proposed to put into place that he wasn't challenged in court on. So it was really incredible as it relates to these issues, some of which actually was implemented during the Obama administration. And all of a sudden, when Trump engaged in the same activity, off to court we go to try and make sure that this is not happening. But I just like to start with the word mass deportation. And it seems as though this term has been really bastardized, conflated. You know, I like to go to the dictionary. You've heard me do this a million times because we try to associate terms with something that we have in our head. And we never really ask, what is this ultimately going to mean? Tom Homan, the incoming individual that's going to be the border czar, I think he put it in context the other day for everybody. You know, and basically what it is mass means you affect a large number of people. Plain and simple. And I don't think there's any disagreement as it relates to the number of illegal immigrants that we have in this country, that we have a large number. Does it? Now, when you add that to the word deportation, that doesn't equate to 13 million people getting deported. But that's where we immediately jump to. And we're having difficulty understanding what that actually means and how we would actually go about it. Well, we know that we have impediments, right? Some are real, some are not. Some of the real impediments are we have an infrastructure issue. We're coming out of an administration that basically diminished, minimized the infrastructure intentionally. They made arrangements and accommodations to pull people across the border at ports of entry. It didn't make sense for them to cross the border between ports of entry, because now you could get on an app and fill out almost like an RSVP to an invitation. Hey, Newell, the immigrant, has decided he wants to come in. And they respond, hey, Newell, we're happy to have you here. Here's your appointment date. Come on across at a point of entry, show that paperwork to someone, and we're going to bring you to a processing center. We're going to put you on a bus. We're going to put you on a plane. We're going to give you some money. We're going to give you some other things, and we're going to drop you off at a city. And in some cases, they were dropped off at a city of their choice without ever doing a preliminary examination as to whether or not the status that they were attempting to come into this country under was actually probed, looked into, due diligence, use whatever term you like, investigated. We didn't do any of that. We left that for a later date, all the while knowing that that infrastructure is woefully underfunded, impaired, and a lot of attention has not been paid to it. Not enough immigration judges, because as the gentleman from Cato pointed out, you don't just get to go pick people up and say, you're here illegally and you're out. No, you got to prove it. Once here, there are constitutional protections. And I would never use this forum to suggest that we step back as it relates to those issues. Because if we do, then we no longer have an ordered and structured way of dealing with immigration. We don't want to do that. We don't want to take a step back. But what we want to do is, in the different silos of the manner in which people come across the border, the manner in which people try to categorize themselves, whether real or not, that we are robust in our ability to evaluate whether or not there is a valid claim or not. A lot of this can go away, you know, when we bring people across and they make a claim at the border. Well, first, let me just say, we need to, between the ports of entry, lock it down. Electronically, there needs to be a fence. There needs to be concertina wire. There needs to be any number of physical impediments for them to move across the border. To delay, and that we have the appropriate monitoring, both electronic, aerial, drones, and otherwise, so that we can coordinate a response and push people back or restrict them from crossing the border, plain and simple. Can it be accomplished? Why, certainly. Other countries are doing it and are doing it with much success. Look at Hungary. They decided that this is what they were going to do, and they did it. But they were able to do it. They were able to accomplish it because they didn't have impediments from other political actors within that government to say that they don't believe in the fence. Only when it's about their security is a fence acceptable. Not you, me, or others, or the nation as a whole. That needs to be the first thing that's done, is to protect the borders between the ports of entry. How we do it in a prioritization, probably the easiest, is going to be electronic. The use of drones. The use of satellite technology. The use of balloons. Any number of way to create a concentric set of protections going across the border. We have the technology. Hell, we've got satellite technology right now that we can watch a mule cross the Mojave Desert. This is no big secret. It's just a question, again, of whether or not we want to make this a priority. Again, this is about whether or not these 435 individuals in Congress, the president, and others are listening to what you, the public, has been saying, that we want this issue resolved. Plain and simple. and to stop standing in the way and falling prey to the activist groups that are talking about all these rights and privileges and this and that that folks should have. We don't operate our country on the come. Right? It's what the law says. And a lot of times when we don't like the outcomes, we say, oh, this law needs to be changed. It needs to be reformed. Yeah, maybe. It does need to be tweaked. There's no doubt about that. But the fact of the matter is, in the meantime, your obligation when you take the oath is that you are going to enforce the laws as written. So I don't know why we're arguing. Let us just enforce the laws as written and stop standing in the way of these folks. If you do believe in national security, and if you do believe that there should be an ordered and structured way in dealing with immigration. Plain and simple. But for some whatever reason, we're stuck on stuck, and we can't see this for what it is. There is no perfect panacea solution. There will be winners. There will be losers, right? And there's not a single thing that we're going to do that's going to work perfectly. There is no such animal. It doesn't happen that way. And we cannot be all things to all people. We have communities in this country right now that are suffering significantly because the manner in which this government has decided to distribute illegal aliens that come into this country. They have put so many in some towns, there's an equal number of illegals as there are to citizens. Now you think about that. You think about if you're in a small city of about 20,000 people. There's a feel to that, right? To that community. Based on that 20,000 people, it may not be very transient in nature. You've known these people since the day you were born. You grew up as families. You pray together. You have faith together. You govern each other in a friendly way. And within a year, 18 months, there are 20,000 folks that are dropped into your community with no sustenance, no place to live, from a foreign country, don't understand the customs, the laws of your community, and we feel like we should not have the right to complain, and that if you don't like it, move. Well, is that what we ask of our government? That they can just unilaterally decide that they're going to dump these folks in our communities? It doesn't mean these are bad people. It just means it's a bad practice by our government leaders. Why? Because they treat it as busy work. They don't want this problem. They want to go to the pulpit and beat everybody else up about the frailty of the existing law instead of just enforcing it, because if you enforced it, this wouldn't happen. But all of a sudden, citizens are bad people. And that's why we've had the outcome in this national election that we've had. Because people are sick and tired of being told that they've worked, you know, I've worked my entire life. I picked the community that I decided to move to. And you just arbitrarily, independently, without any forethought, busy work, destroyed the whole fabric of our community. And let's say these were the most perfect people in the world. They assimilated in minutes of being dropped in your city. The city infrastructure is set up for 20,000, not 40,000. So it doesn't mean that you have to be xenophobic, sexist, racist, or otherwise. It's just too fast. It doesn't make any sense. Where did common sense go in all of this? Especially when you see what Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York have done. So Los Angeles City Council passes a sanctuary city ordinance, again, on a 13-0 vote before the city council that will prohibit city officers and resources from being used to enforce federal immigration laws except under limited circumstances. The legislation will be signed by Democratic Mayor Karen Bass as she released the draft ordinance last week. She says that this moment demands urgency. Immigrant protections make our community stronger and our city better. Really? Then why do you have your hand out to the federal government and you're talking about all the ailments of your community as a result thereof? Stop speaking in political platitudes in order to curry favor with an ethnic group. You are less than a credible leader. Or maybe we should change our policy. You heard the expert from Cato say how costly it is to deport people that don't have a coterminous boundary with us. That is true. It is costly. Maybe we can save a lot of money. Maybe instead of deporting them, we send them to the sanctuary cities within our country. Obviously, Los Angeles believes that with a healthy population of illegal immigrants, that their community's stronger and their city's going to be better. Well, let's make it the strongest and best city in the country. Let's send them all to Los Angeles. There's a lot of land out there. There's a lot to offer out there. And in fact, the population base there is so great, much stronger, better infrastructure there as well, they could probably take in 13 million immigrants and it wouldn't be a blip on the screen. It'll be interesting to see what their reaction would be. If you want to be sanctuary, then let's be sanctuary. Let's make you the example of the full Monty. And then let's wait to see how this science project works out for the city of LA. But let's just go down the path of what we think would happen. First and foremost, Democrat city, led by a Democrat, they will heap all kinds of privileges and rights on these individuals. Meanwhile, the federal government is trying to figure out who they are, what they are, why they are, what status are they here under. Do they have a right under existing law to stay in the country? And meanwhile, on the other side, the city of Los Angeles, it's like a race. It's like a track race, right? And it's the high hurdles. It's the 200-meter high hurdle race or whatever. And we're jumping over the hurdles. Got the federal government in one lane and the city of Los Angeles in the other. And it's a race to the end to see how, if LA wins, that means they've assimilated them in such a way that it's literally impossible to move them through a deportation process that the federal government is embarked upon. Well, my suggestion is why waste our time and money doing that, right? As we find them, as they're identified, we send them to LA, Chicago, and New York because they have all decided that they want to be sanctuary cities yet again. They're pounding their chest, flexing their arms, they're lifting weights, they're going to the gym three times a day in preparation for Donald Trump taking office on January 20th because they want to go to battle. There's no need to fight. If Donald Trump was smart, I think he should just succumb. You want him? You got him. Toyota. Not a problem at all. Saves us a lot of money. We'll send them there. Don't ask us for money. And as you have the lack of jobs for this, the lack of medical beds, your educational system is broke, which it is now. And across this country, nobody wants to talk about it because it's xenophobic. The highest cost right now in Orleans and Jefferson Parish School are non-English speaking students. That's not a criticism. It's a reality. And no money. In fact, the Orleans Parish School System just made a $36 million mistake, and they're looking for manna from heaven to be able to make it to the next budget year. And did you go to NOLA.com? And wait till you see the school system's grades. That'll rock your world. And you want to know, you simply ask the question, oh, yeah, this is going to get better if we bring a healthy number of non-English speaking students and put them in these schools and make these schools ramp up and spend money trying to find bilingual teachers in order to first teach them the language, in order to then teach them the subject matter. Meanwhile, the clock is running and we don't have enough resources for the other students that are here, who, by the way, are burdened with this label called U.S. citizen. And they're not getting the resources that they should get. And we believe that at the Phyllis Wheatley Community School, only because this is the screen that popped up, who has a D in the 2024 letter grade, an actual score of a 59, is going to be a B in the coming years. Yeah, that's going to happen, right? That's going to happen. So we're staring the obvious in the face and nobody wants to talk about it. No, we're going to argue over what mass deportation means. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. We have to tweak every silo in the immigration policy so that they align and are complementary to each other. When Donald Trump outlined his immigration policy in Arizona when he ran the first time, I was on the air then and I said, this is the first time someone has really proposed a comprehensive plan. I sat on a national committee on immigration and almost without exception, everyone felt the same way from a law enforcement perspective, I would add, because that is a limiting factor, that this was a policy that could actually be proactively enforced. And then the litigation started. It was like somebody stepped on the ant pile and all the ants started scattering. And no one could ever collectively bring the ants back together. And that was basically the 4 years. But and I've said this to you before. What was interesting is that under the Obama administration first term, some of the highest deportation rates in the history of the country. In Jefferson Parish, per capita, highest deportation rate per capita in the country. Did not know that until the immigration activists came down here and started to want to preach to me about what I was doing, why I should not be doing it. And I reminded them about the oath of office that included the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the United States, not just the state. And that they didn't want me to pick and choose what laws I was going to go enforce and what laws that I, on my whim, would decide that I'm not enforcing it because I don't believe in that. And for any activist group to come in and ask an elected official to engage in that conduct is ignorant. They don't understand a constitutional republic. They don't understand what a threat to democracy is. Every one of these NGOs that are facilitating what is going on at the border is a threat to democracy, and you should not give them a dime. Not a dime. And every day that they're trying to work around and wink, wink, and do things contrary to the best interests of this country, contrary to Border Patrol, contrary to immigration and customs enforcement, contrary to the best interests of U.S. citizens, should be criminally charged and put in jail, and you should not give them another dime because they are working against us. The interesting thing is you should have seen their face when I told them, because I don't look Hispanic, that I grew up in a Hispanic community. That can't be. Oh, CCC. Mi mamá es nicaragüense. All of my family, every weekend, I spend with Nicaragüenses, Hondurans, Guatemalans. I grew up in that community. I understand it totally. I understand the frustrations of families trying to get together that are waiting outside of the country 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13 years. I understand those same families that are totally pissed off when illegals come in and they're still waiting on the outside because they want to do it the right way. They're trying and attempting to leave a country that does it the wrong way every day. They want to be part of the right way. And it's amazing that Democrats can't figure this out and think that the Hispanic community is monolithic. Those that understand why we are successful here is because we are governed by the rule of law. And those that really believe that don't want to start their life in the rule of law country by violating the law, do they? And is it reasonable for them to ask of us that we give them a pass? And we stare the families that are trying to do it the right way each and every day, spending thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars waiting to get through the system, that we are going to reward those that do it the wrong way? Are those the lessons that we want to teach? And do we really believe that that's the best first step for someone coming to this country? I don't know. I suspect not. What do you think? Give us a call, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. You know, it's incredible what people will say. You grew up in that community and you turned your back on them and now you're cooning. Really. You know, the reality is that most of the people that I know that grew up in the community of those that came here legally, they share the same opinion that I have. Why? Because they made the sacrifices necessary to do it the right way. And in fact, they continue to make the sacrifices that they make to do it the right way to succeed and in this country. And in fact, most of them, if not all, are incredibly successful as a familial unit, as a member of this community, as a business owner, and most importantly, as a law-abiding citizen. Wow. It's funny how those dots get connected, right? Amazing. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse, you're up. What say you?
Good morning, Mr. Norman. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jesse. How about yourself?
Good, man. Look, I caught the end of Tommy's show, and I guess you said his guest was somebody from Cato?
Yes, sir. I've had him on my show. Cato? Very smart. Cato Institute,
okay,
yes.
So they're still going back and forth about the border, how to protect it, the plans and this, that. And I want to commend you on your opening statement, because I was texting Tommy and trying to say exactly what you were saying, and instead he went on to humiliate me and tell me that I wasn't smart. But you just said everything perfectly. You laid out a plan, you said how it should be done, and you spoke for the people that did it right that came here as immigrants, which is just amazing. And I don't understand what Tommy doesn't understand and what your friend from Cato doesn't get. Mass deportation is not Holocaust. It's getting the people out of here that came here illegally that are ruining our United States. And Tommy, just so you know, we are paying for these people. So, Newell, I want to thank you very much for opening your show with that. That was amazing, and the borders are there for a reason. You can see them on the globe. You can see them on the map. They are there to divide areas, and they're not to be crossed illegally. I don't know what Tommy and his guests don't understand. President Trump had a plan 8 years ago, and he fought and he fought and he fought. And you talked about some of those things this morning on your opening line about the drones and the electronics. That man tried doing those things, whether it was a wall or not. And the Dems and everybody else who thought they were a politician shut it down. So now, yep, this man has to start all over again, and we're starting this just retarded conversation all over again. But thank you for being intelligent. I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate the call. I try to point out the obvious. I don't know that it speaks to my intelligence. We have laws. We have rules of laws. And I think that people that ask us to not enforce them, to not do them, to engage in something else, that means we're turning our back on you, the citizen, on the U.S. Constitution, on the laws of the state of Louisiana here, and the respective laws of the other 49 states and territories that we have within our country. I don't know when it got to be okay to pick and choose what laws we're going to enforce. I mean, you have a prioritization as it relates to the assets and resources that you have, and you try and stay in each little area or silo or area of enforcement. Hell, when I was sheriff, we were still making arrests for bee drinking because we knew if bee drinking was allowed, that next thing was prostitutes. And we knew that when prostitutes move into some of the lounges, the next things that we were going to see were drug deals. How did we know? We've been through that process before. We've seen it unfold the same way over and over and over again. So you stay in there to try and create a safe harbor. You stay in a proactive way to continue to send the same message that we're going to be serious about it. Now, some months we were able to do it more than others because we were busy enforcing other areas of the law, but never losing sight of what we needed to do in order to create a safe harbor. And guess what happens when that happens? And, you know, I think Sheriff LoPinto has the same approach. The lowest crime rate year since 1974. Wow, it's amazing. You selectively incapacitate the impact criminal. You're in every little bailiwick out there that is the underbelly of our society that if you let it go unchecked, it gets away. Vis-a-vis, look at the homeless situation with those that have attempted that, right? Look at immigration, because that's exactly what we've failed to realize. And what do you have? Things that are out of control. Now you got to work three times harder to get it back in control. Doesn't sound like a great return on that strategy's investment, right? Let's go to Terry. Terry, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Merle. You know who's one of the happiest people in the world when Trump got reelected or got elected
who's
again?
That?
Is my son. He's a Border Patrol agent down in Texas.
Well, thank him for his service, Terry, please. I'm sorry. I just wanted to thank him for his service. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay, he knows. They have been sitting on their behinds for the past 3 months doing paperwork. They haven't been out. They haven't done anything. And I don't think these people realize that I would say over 70% of his friends that work for the Border Patrol or Hispanics that have been in South Texas their entire lives. Their families can go back before Texas was Texas. They don't like the illegals. They hate them worse than we do because it gives them a bad name. I'm Hispanic. Oh, man, you got to be an illegal. They're not. They're Border Patrol agents. They're out there trying to save people, keep them. And these people who are run down the Border Patrol agents, like Kamala called them Nazis and KKK members and stuff like that when she was talking about ICE, do they realize what those men and women do when they have to have body bags, picking up body bags full of people that have died, giving them IVs, fixing broken arms when they fall and everything? Half of the guys in his crew, you know, he's a supervisor, half of his crew are paramedics because they have to know how to do all that stuff. And believe me,
Terry, talk about
Massachusetts. Go ahead.
No, Terry, I was going to say, talk about how remote some of the areas of this border are. Oh. They're in the middle of nowhere, hours away from the nearest town.
You're a policeman, so you know what? They wear these pants that are so thick to keep the cactus from getting in. They have to wear a long sleeve shirt, the same thickness. They got to have their body armor. You know, they don't realize what those men and women go through every day trying to protect the border. And believe me, they say they cannot wait to January 20th when Trump becomes president again so they can get back to work doing their jobs, because they told them they can't, you know, y'all can't, we can't go out here and do this today, guys. We don't have no gasoline for the vehicles and, you know, stuff like that. And, Merrill, you were saying about Los Angeles and all these cities. You forgot one. Massachusetts said they're not going to do it either, so we can send them all to Boston and Nantucket,
Boston,
and Cape Cod, and all them beautiful cities. Put them next to Obama and his mansion up there in Cape Cod.
Michelle Wu in Boston. Yeah, she's saying the exact same thing. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. The Lake and Riley case has been resolved. Jose Ibarra has been found guilty of murder. That's the individual from Venezuela who was shipped down to Georgia from New York on a paid-for government airplane ticket, to make matters worse. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're up. What say you?
Hey, good morning. I was told I needed to be quick, so I'll make my statement quickly. Hey, so I agree with you, especially with the Latino community wanting to follow the law, because following the law is very important. But I don't think we have the right individual to do that, because he's truly not following the law himself. He's a convicted felon, as well as the abuser of women. So all these people that saying, yeah, he did this and he did that, actually, Tommy Tucker Guest was saying he really didn't fix the border issue when he was in. And so
he couldn't.
I don't think
he couldn't. Right. He was tied up in litigation the whole time.
Right.
He was tied up in litigation the whole time. And okay, you want to know the true irony?
Wait.
The true irony is a lot of what they took him to court for, they ended up doing themselves. It's really weird how that worked out. Go ahead.
He had an opportunity to allow the law to go through that would have provided the funding necessary to fix the border, but he decided to run on that issue rather than show his concern for the American citizen.
But that's not true. Have you ever read that bill?
No, I have not read the bill.
So I would not opine on it till I've read it, and then come back and say what you're saying, because that was a bad bill. And the reason Democrats were for it, they had so much more of what they wanted in preferential treatment for illegals crossing the border, that the provisions that were proactive in pushing back on that didn't go into place until a certain number of people crossed the border. What? That's like saying, we're not going to enforce armed robberies until we have a certain number of armed robberies committed. Then we'll show how aggressive we want to be as it relates to armed robberies. Who would vote for something stupid like that? That's so stupid, it's ridiculous. And they've got people believing that that was going to solve the problem. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? We're not going to give the resources until so many numbers of illegals cross the border. Then we'll do it. Wink, wink. Yeah, right. We need to be for that. In fact, we should vote out any Republican that ever even considered voting for that crazy bill. That's not the rule of law. We're gonna give 1.7 million free passes, and then we're going to enforce the law. Really? Sounds perfect. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Michael Heck, president and CEO of G&O Inc. And we'll have a special guest, Jake Carrere, co-founder and CEO of ProKeep. And we'll talk about that company's success. In a 12 o'clock hour, Wednesday is Utility Scam Awareness Day. That's today. And we'll visit with Brooke Buford, communication strategist at Clico, and Daniel DePetris, Defense Priorities Fellow, will talk about Putin lowering the threshold for nuclear weapons.